Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
I'm crushed today. The greatest who ever lived, Tom Brady, is hanging it up. And unlike last time, where I felt like deep down inside, he was ultimately going to come back, I was excited when he decided to come back. This time, he's not coming back, guys. He's done. He's done. The greatest player who ever lived, Tom Brady. When I heard Nick's update right there, and I heard him say Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady, I was like, that's not how we refer to Tom Brady as. We refer to him as the greatest quarterback who ever lived. Oh, boy. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports Live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Boy, I'm bummed out today. Ian's here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
I am bummed out. I am bummed out for so many different reasons. Let's start with Brady, okay? So, Tom Brady decides to return from his retirement last year. And even though Brady said he retired and he said it was for good last time, there was always this sense that, yeah, but... And there were these little hints. As soon as he retired, he went on his podcast with Jim Gray, and he talked about how, you know, maybe I'll come back, I don't know. And it was like, what? You know, kind of like when Michael Jordan retired from the Bulls the first time, and he said at his press conference, maybe I'll come back to basketball. Well, next thing you know, Scottie Pippen's got his foot up in the air, pointing at the Jordan logo and telling him to come here. Everybody knew Michael was going to come back. And it felt like, for the most part, everybody knew that Tom Brady was going to come back. At least that's how I remember it. You know, one of the things about this industry is that a lot of people in the media are very, very excited to tell you about the fact that they do not root for the teams they cover, even though, in my opinion, a lot of them do. So they'll say, you know, we don't root for the teams we cover, but then you'll read their coverage and you'll say, uh-huh, you don't root for them. Come on now. I do. And sometimes that can be incredibly painful, like Game 7 of the Winnipeg series when two goals went in right off the bat and I'm sitting in my seats knowing that the dream season, the Stanley Cup, and the extra 2 months of amazing content on the radio program are gone. And today when I found out about the news, which we do have for you and we will play for you all, when I found out in lifetime that Tom Brady was retiring from the NFL. But when I found that out, I thought, there goes Brady to the Titans. As with everything, pretty much in life, I don't know about how you all feel about me, but I think I'm a skeptic. Sometimes I think that's really good. Sometimes I think it can be really, really disheartening. And even though I told you all that I wasn't getting my hopes up that Tom Brady was going to come to the Titans, deep down inside, I think I was. And when I found out today that Brady wasn't coming to the Titans, I thought, oh, the dream of what this football team could have been, the dream of what this radio show could have been about, the dream of this season and all the great games and everybody, Sunday night football and trying to get to the Super Bowl and all of those things. It shockingly reminded me of the feeling I had last year when the Titans lost to Cincinnati in the divisional round. I'd seen the Titans represent the AFC as the number one seed twice in my life. And in each time, they played the Ravens in the divisional round game and they lost. I was stunned. Losing was not a possibility the first time the Titans had the one seed. I grieved as a fifth grader over it. I was very well aware of the possibility that the Titans could lose to Cincinnati last year. And yet, after the game was over, I wasn't just upset about the fact that my team had lost, but I was upset about what it meant for the show. I was upset about how excited I would have been to talk about the AFC championship game and how excited I would have been to go to Los Angeles at the Super Bowl and talk about the Titans and get ready to play a Super Bowl and then a parade down Broadway and all those things that I thought were legitimately possible last year. And I was bummed out. And that's how I feel about this. Because I did think in my head there was a possibility. The way the Titans were unwilling to commit to Ryan Tannehill, it gave me hope that maybe the Titans were thinking like I was. And again, I think Tannehill had a fine season this past year, but he's not Tom Brady. Even though Tom Brady had a down year by Tom Brady standards last year, he's still better than Ryan Tannehill. And he was better than Ryan Tannehill last year. And I was hoping deep down inside, and maybe I did get my hopes up, that Tom Brady was going to come to the Titans. Now on Brady's retirement, and we'll get to the Titans in a second. I, for the last couple of years, have been thankful to be a fan of Tom Brady. A friend of mine that I went to high school with had, I guess he's now 9 or 10 years old, but he was an 8 year old a couple years ago. And I remember when he was 8 years old, because that's how old I was when Michael Jordan hit the shot against the Utah Jazz, a shot that hangs up in one of the rooms of my home. And I remember talking to him about Tom Brady. And my friend's 8 year old at the time said, "I hate Tom Brady." And I said, "Why? How can you hate Tom Brady?" And he said, "He wins all the time, and I just don't like him." And I thought, you know, I was your age when Michael Jordan essentially shut it down in the NBA. And Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player who ever lived. And I am incredibly thankful that there are people, and once you become 30 years old, people who are 27, you don't really even know ages anymore, that I am thankful that my friends who are 27, 25, 20, whatever it may be, they don't remember Michael Jordan. They didn't get to watch Michael Jordan. And you, as I said to this 8-year-old, you get to watch Tom Brady. And you will not get to watch Tom Brady for forever. And that's how I felt the last 2 years watching Tom Brady, is that every time he played, I was just thankful. When he led that comeback in the fourth quarter on Monday Night Football against the Saints, I said to myself, I don't know how many more of these I'm going to get to watch. When they were getting ready to kick the ball off against Dallas, I thought, man, this might be the last Tom Brady playoff run that I will ever get to see. And now it's over. And the highs, the lows, whether you loved Brady or hated Brady, I hated the Patriots. I did. I hated them from about 2005 2004, whenever they went on that big, long winning streak, I believe in between Super Bowls 2 and 3. I hated the Patriots. And then I covered them for a year in 2013 when I was up in New Hampshire. And I got it. And I appreciated Brady and his greatness and how hard he worked. And all along the way, I was thankful for Brady versus Peyton Manning. I was thankful for the Super Bowl comebacks and the games against the Seattle Seahawks where Malcolm Butler makes a great play, or the 28-3, or the fourth quarter that he had in that Seahawks game. I remember thinking about how crazy it is in football that Tom Brady went to the bench twice with the lead in the Super Bowl against the New York Giants and didn't win either game. And I just think about how much of an honor it was in my lifetime to get to watch Tom Brady play football. And I am grateful for that. I am grateful for the fact that we got to watch the greatest football player who ever lived, and that considering that he won his first Super Bowl, I was 12 years old, I got to watch the whole thing. And I am so thankful. I remember where I was in my parents' old house watching the Tuck Rule game. I remember the AFC Championship game when he got hurt and Bledsoe came in. I remember the Super Bowl at my best friend Aaron's old house, watching that, rooting against the Rams because just 2 years prior they had beaten the Titans by a yard in Super Bowl 34. And I remember where I was a couple years ago when Tampa Bay won that Super Bowl. And I just am so thankful that not only did I get to cover Tom Brady, but I got to watch Tom Brady, and I got to appreciate Tom Brady. Now the Titans. The tough part about this for me with the Titans is I really felt like they needed Tom Brady. I think you know that if you listen to the show. You know that I thought they needed it. It feels to me like Ryan Tannehill is now coming back as the quarterback, even though it doesn't feel to me like the Titans want Ryan Tannehill to come back as the quarterback. But this team needs some juice. The truth is, what this group is right now is they're kind of like the Predators' core group is as well. They had their run. They had a crack at it. They didn't get it done. And it's just kind of been keeping the same group together. And it's gotten a little stale. There have been some guys that come in and some guys that go out. But it's pretty much the same group. Byard, Simmons, Henry, Tannehill, Ben Jones, kind of the same group. And I felt like this team needed some real juice this season. And I knew that if they had brought Tom Brady to the Titans, that that would have been like taking those Barry Bonds HGH steroids and just injecting it right into the fanny of Titan Nation. And that it would have overnight been, well, we have to rebuild our offensive line and we have to get receivers. And, you know, Nate Davis has to be re-signed and David Long Jr. And we hope Rand Carthon's a good too. Woo! Tom Brady's coming to Titans! And I felt like that's what the Titans needed. I did. And I just don't see juice coming in any other way. Maybe they swing one of these shocking trades like we saw last year for Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams or A.J. Brown, and maybe that's the juice they need. But it just felt like, to me, this team was a decent car that just needed a new battery. And that was what Tom Brady would have been. He would have jump-started this team, would have jump-started this fan base, would have jump-started the energy and taken it from negative to positive. Would have changed everybody's mindset of half the fan base saying, we need to blow it up and rebuild, to here we go on our way back to the playoffs. You know, the Titans were one ref's call, and I don't know if it was a fumble or an incomplete pass anymore because I don't know what the rules are in the NFL apparently, but the Titans were one either bad play or bad call away from being in the same spot Jacksonville was, fourth in the AFC. The Titans' defense held so tough against Kansas City the first time that they almost won the game with Malik Willis at quarterback. Malik might be the worst quarterback in the NFL. You're not that far away. And I felt like the Titans really knew that deep down inside too. And I really thought they had a chance, because all these other teams that should have wanted Tom Brady didn't want Tom Brady. Miami doesn't want Tom Brady? How? And so I thought there was a real chance. When Tom Brady got divorced, because for the 9,000th time, Giselle did an interview where she said she wanted him to give up football and he wouldn't do it, I thought, well, he's definitely not retiring now. But I guess I was wrong. And I guess that hope for that juice, that spark, that jump, everything I felt like the Titans needed. Because this whole rebuilding thing you guys talk about, I'm not interested in that. I don't know how they're going to get that now. I really don't. So I'm bummed out. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction on Tom Brady retiring, your reaction of what Tom Brady meant to you, your reaction of what it means for the Titans, that's all on the table. 615-737-1025. Back to the hot board. the quarterback list, who's on the big board, and what I think is really now inevitable. And I'm not totally against it. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, rocking and rolling, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
And he's now a single dad who is focused on being there for his children at a focal point in their lives. They're on the East Coast. So as much as everybody could say, boy, Tom Brady should go back to San Francisco and replace Brock Purdy, Tom Brady should go to Las Vegas and rejoin Josh McDaniels, as much as those scenarios from a football sense make sense, they do not make sense in the life that Tom Brady needs to, wants to, and has to live as a single father. And so all these factors together, I think, contribute to the fact that he announces his decision this morning, walks away from the game.
I'm against it. Shefty, not that my opinion matters. I'm against it. Tom Brady's a single dad. I do think if Miami wanted Brady, he'd be the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. And I don't know if the Titans wanted Brady or not. We'll never know. I still don't even know if the Titans wanted Brady 3 years ago when they ended up going with Tannehill, because all the talk was that he would have gone to the Raiders. And now, you know, would the Titans have been underneath the Raiders? I don't know. And so I don't know. Tom Brady's retired. And this is the one thing that I said at the end of the season, and I felt comfortable saying it, and I still believe it. Like, if I owned the team, a lot of you all talk about going young. I mean, I tune into the Midday Show every day, and I hear D. Mace talking about how the Titans need to draft their quarterback of the future, as if it is that simple. To take a pick in the first round, there may not even be a quarterback there. Every mock draft's got four guys going before the 11th pick, and that they need to say, okay, this is our guy, and that guy actually has to be good. I have no idea if that's going to happen or not happen, but it's not that simple. And I just said after the season that, unlike the people that are, oh, it's time to blow it up, oh, it's time to be bad, oh, it's time to go tank for Caleb Williams next year, if I owned the team, I'm running it back with Tannehill. And I said that. I said, unless I can get Brady or Rodgers or Jackson, I'm running it back with Tannehill, knowing that the most likely outcome was they'd end up running it back with Tannehill. Well, now with Tom Brady off of the big board, and the Titans have said nothing, either on the record or off the record, they have said nothing to the effect of they believe in Tannehill. We haven't read any articles from Joe Rexroth in The Athletic saying that a source is telling him that Ryan Tannehill's their guy. 2 years ago, Joe wrote in The Athletic, and everybody hammered him for it, that the Titans believed they could let Corey Davis walk because they had Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Well, guess what? They let Corey Davis walk, and they've thrown the ball to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine a ton over the last 2 years. But we haven't read anything off the record about Tannehill being the guy. So here's the updated big board as far as the Titans are concerned. And we start, this is the quarterback big board, which, after figuring out what the power structure of the organization was going to be, the number one question that I had this offseason, before fixing the offensive line, before what you're going to do with the 11th pick, before how you're going to allocate money, not cap, but how you're going to allocate actual money, the number one question I had is, who's the quarterback? So here's the big board. We start at the top.
Number one,
Ryan Tannehill. He's the incumbent, and I think he is the runaway favorite. If I were placing odds on who the next quarterback of the Tennessee Titans would be, or I should say, who is going to take the snaps week one of next season, I would say Ryan Tannehill plus 900. I mean, I think it is obvious that Ryan Tannehill, the incumbent, is going to get a crack at it. And it's not really about the cap or the dead cap money and how they're going to. It's what else is out there, which takes us to number two.
Number two,
Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is my kind of guy. And I heard Coach Shoup yesterday on the program saying, oh, I want nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to say nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. But I am going to say that, one, it's $60 million. Real money that your owner has to pay. She spent $217 million on the team last year. $60 million, that's a fourth of it. I don't think she's going to want to do that. You're going to have to probably give up the 11th overall pick. I don't want to do that. And I don't think Rodgers' personality would mesh with Vrabel. They may be buddies off the field, but there's a difference between knocking out a smoke together and banking your livelihood on them. Rodgers is number two.
Number three.
Jimmy Garoppolo has the Rand Carthon connection, and he does run this offense. The one downside I have with Garoppolo is that he freaking sucks. And I will die on that hill that no matter how far San Francisco got with him, they could have gotten there with anybody else, as we saw this past season.
Number four.
Derek Carr. Now, I don't think Derek Carr sucks as much as Jimmy G, but I do think Derek Carr kind of sucks. And Derek Carr costs more money than Tannehill. And if you look at the quarterback rating over their careers, so for every, well, he had A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith. There's a, well, he had Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. There's a, he had his MVP season. Tannehill had his Pro Bowl season. You know, they like, it's close, right? 1 point difference in quarterback rating over the decade that these two have been in the NFL, basically. They're the same player. No, thank you.
Number five.
Baker Mayfield. Now, I think Baker Mayfield is the most likely veteran quarterback to take a snap on week one that's not Ryan Tannehill. Because Baker is still young enough. Like, I say veteran, but we're talking about Baker Mayfield. What is he, like 27? So he's really entering that prime. And I think he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks in this league. But he's got an attitude problem. Does Mike Vrabel look at the offense they run, which protects the quarterback with the running game, and looks at the attitude of Baker and says, I like that competitor, and I'll hone him in, and I'll rein him in? Or does Mike Vrabel say, I'm not dealing with that at that position? I mean, this is a locker room where nobody says anything. The general manager gets fired, and nobody says anything. And so, you know what? I'm not bringing that in here. I don't know how Vrabel feels.
Number six.
Trey Lance. Now, he's a devalued asset, and the Titans, it looks like, are probably going to run the quarterback a little bit more this upcoming season. But with Brock Purdy's injury, I heard Joel Corey make a really good point on the morning show today, the former agent who works for CBS now, and he said that with Brock Purdy's injury, you can't trade your insurance if you're San Francisco. So I'll put him on the board too, but I think it's Tannehill by a long shot, and Baker Mayfield is probably the second most likely guy to be the quarterback of this team. That depresses me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get to your phones on this. 615-737-1025. But I'm going to guess that a lot of you want to know how I reacted in live time to Tom Brady's announcement. And lucky enough, we have that. Shockingly, we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 615-737-1025. TriStar Moving, the presenting sponsor of this show. I absolutely love my friends at TriStar Moving. I moved with them a couple of years ago, and I didn't know anything about TriStar Moving. And after moving with them, I'm telling you, they're my favorite company. And so whenever somebody's moving, I always say, just get a bid from TriStar, because moving's expensive. So see what everybody has to offer. And when you work with TriStar, you'll say, wow, these guys are the best. Their sales staff is awesome. Their movers are highly trained. And their owners, Garrett and Robert, local Nashville guys, they're my friends now. I think they're great guys, and they care about taking care of their community. That's their brand. This is their city, and they take a lot of pride in that. So if you're looking to move, give them a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nashvillemoving.org/radio. You'll get 10% off your entire move, which is a lot of money because, once again, moving is expensive. That's nashvillemoving.org/radio, 615-640-1219. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 10% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers.
I think the league is going to be different now without the standard being there at the quarterback position. It's not shocking, but still, you never know what's coming. I know we had the whole thing last year also that he was retiring and then he came back. Is this real? I think it's absolutely real if he's saying this is time. I mean, 45 years old, what he's done has been absolutely incredible. I know he didn't want to end this way. I know he would rather have ended with a deeper run in the playoffs. But I think his old belief of the next championship, okay, the best championship is always the next one. And I think now he can finally sort of look back and say that all of them were great and they were all his favorite. So, I mean, it's something that, you know, we're all going to miss watching him play, but I congratulate him on such a fantastic career, and I'm happy for my friend.
Teddy Bruschi this morning on ESPN talking about the retirement of Tom Brady. So a lot of people probably wanted to know. It's actually funny because I would later watch Robbie and Retro today, and they were talking all the time. Like every text they were reading was, I hope Jared's okay, ha, 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 about the news about Tom Brady retiring. Well, guess what? We have that live for you because every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, I do my local hit in Louisville. We're on the show that I used to be on. Drew Diener is the host. And I used to do that show, and I do a hit every week. So we're talking about something. I don't even know what. And Mark Blakenbaker, the other guy on the show, breaks in. This is the Diener Show on ESPN 680 in Louisville. And this is the moment that I found out about Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. retiring.
I hate to interject, but I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter. Tom Brady's just announced his retirement.
Okay, he's done that so many times. I mean,
yep, just did it on Twitter 4 minutes ago.
Haven't we heard this before?
We have, but I think it's serious this time.
Yeah, I'll wait till the season starts and he's not on a roster. You sound surprised at that, Jared. I mean, I expect him to announce it, and I expect him to unretire.
I mean, I don't think he's unretiring. I am.
He's already done it once.
And saddened. And depressed.
Oh, stop.
I love Tom Brady.
I know, but not this version. Not the one that's throwing balls into the dirt and he's looking like Dan Marino blaming his receivers late in his career.
Oh, yeah, you haven't listened to my show lately. I've been all in on the Titans going after Tom Brady.
Oh, okay. I did not know.
Oh, so sad. It's breaking news that has hit me. I still think Tom Brady's got good football left in him.
So you could tell, I was crushed. I was not ready for that when I found out the news. It continued.
Man, I am bummed out.
You are. You are visibly shaken. If I could see you, I would say you're visibly shaken.
I mean, people are texting me right now. They're like, "Are you okay?" Like people here in Nashville, because I love Tom Brady. I mean, I think that I am so disheartened by. And I know it's like the society we live in that people don't like successful people, but the amount of people that have like this angst against Tom Brady. I mean, the fact that we were able to watch him, like I was able to watch his entire career from the jump. Like I got into football in 99 and he won the Super Bowl in 2001. And so I've always been so grateful to see Tom Brady's career unfold the way that it did. I mean, he's the greatest player who ever lived. And I am just bummed out. I was kind of hoping that, you know, that they'd backdoor it into him playing one season for the Titans. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Man, I am bummed out.
I am bummed out. It continued then, and I don't know if this is one of the stages of grief. Anger of what transpired over the last year with Tom Brady.
I mean, why would you, if you're Tom Brady, why would you risk your marriage to Giselle for one more season? But
preach.
That's none of my business.
Well, I'm not going to pretend to understand their marriage. I mean, there's probably more than that factor, but would be my guess. I'm guessing there's.
I am
we don't know the
a very difficult
their,
time
their
for
marriage.
Me all at one time, Drew.
You what did you say?
I said I am processing a very difficult time for me all at one time.
I know, and we're hearing it like live in real time here. So I think I just reconnected there. So, well, we'll try to console you through this.
I would appreciate more support.
And I would appreciate more support at that time. And finally, after I got off the show, we started talking about other stuff like how terrible Tony Romo was over the weekend and Greg Olson on Fox. Apparently me and the host of that show, Drew, who I used to work with, we're the only people in America who thinks Greg Olson freaking sucks.
I think that might be true.
He sucks. And so we were talking about that, and then I got off the show, and this was their reaction.
Jared, that's as sad as Jared Stillman has ever sounded.
I know, and if I'd have known it was going to make him that sad, I probably would have just held it to myself.
No, they didn't have to live that out in real time.
I mean, but
look, it's breaking news. You have to report on it. But again, weren't we sitting here a year ago? No, we were.
Same exact day.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it
to the day. Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah, Jared, very, very sad.
So that was the live reaction when it happened. It was very, very tough for me. And as I said to them as it went down, this is a very difficult time. Now, let's go to your phones because our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. And I have just been reading through the text line, and you guys are on your stupid pills today. I mean, I am, I don't want to say I'm disheartened, but when I talked about being thankful for Tom Brady, Chris in Nashville, thankful for cheating, that cheater. When did he cheat? Deflategate. Is there any proof to Deflategate? No. The only reason that Tom Brady got suspended, and this is what the NFL said, and the guy who was kind of in charge of this, we know it was Goodell, but the guy who, you know, took the bullets for this was Troy Vincent, the former player who lied about the DeMar Hamlin 5 minutes to warm up thing. And the reason they suspended Brady is because he would not turn his cell phone over to the league. Why has he got to turn his cell phone over to the league? That's why they suspended him. They didn't suspend him for cheating because they didn't have any proof of him cheating. It was all circumstantial. The league was allowed to do whatever they want. So get that cheating out of here. Ron texts in and says, I feel the same about Derrick Henry. We're watching a legend at work that will soon be in the Hall of Fame. I think he meant legend. He said legion. We're watching a legend at work that will soon be in the Hall of Fame. Derrick Henry is not on Tom Brady's level. Again, that's like the difference between Michael Jordan and Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady had a nice career. Tracy McGrady was a good basketball player. Tracy McGrady was not Michael Jordan. And so, no, it's not the same as watching Derrick Henry, Ron. Texter says the only juice, because I did feel like if the Titans had signed Tom Brady, that there would have been some serious juice there. The only juice Tom Brady would have brought to the Titans is prune juice, says somebody. I'm sure they felt so excited sending that into the text line. Chris in Lewisburg texts in and says, oh, boo-hoo. And I've noticed that every single text that this guy has sent is in response to this show about Tom Brady. Oh, it's so tough. I mean, again, like I said, to me, this is all. Texter says, let's hope Tom Brady pulls a Brett Favre. This is from Dave in Nashville. No. Dave, it's over. Tom Brady is never coming back. You know, he's supposed to call games on Fox. I don't think he's actually going to do that. I never thought that that Fox deal was actually about Tom Brady calling games on Fox. And you're going to say, what do you mean? He signed for like $300 million. I know, but Tom Brady doesn't need $300 million. I think he's going to stink calling games. I mean, pretty much everybody stinks calling games now. And the reason why Greg Olsen and Tony Romo both stink is because they'll never be critical of anybody. Chris Collinsworth will be critical. Troy Aikman is incredibly snarky on those broadcasts. And I am convinced the number one thing sports fans want is they want to know who screwed up and why. That is what they really want to know. So I do not think Brady is going to do the broadcast thing, and I do not think Brady will be any good at it. And I love Brady. You all know I am an unhinged Tom Brady fanatic, and I think he will be absolutely terrible. This is my take. Absolutely terrible in the broadcast booth if he does it. And I still am not convinced he's going to do it. I felt like deep down inside, the reason why Tom Brady agreed to that deal with Fox was because it gave both of them something that they could take to somebody else. You know, at the time, Brady was married to Giselle. And Giselle did all these interviews where she would talk about how, you know, I just want him to quit playing football. And we didn't know they were headed for a divorce, but it was clear she wasn't happy about it. And so by signing the deal with Fox, he could go to Giselle, and this happened last offseason, he could go to Giselle and say, see, I already have a plan for life after football. And Fox, who cheaped out on Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, that's why they're not there anymore. Fox, and this does matter to the NFL. It may not matter to you who calls the games, but it does matter to the NFL. Fox can go to the NFL and say, hey, I know we don't have Joe and Troy, and I know we're putting these two novices in the booth, but in the NFL, Robert Kraft, the head of the broadcast committee, was pushing Al Michaels very hard to Fox. And I know we didn't take your suggestion of Al Michaels, but we signed Tom Brady, so we are dedicated to high-end broadcast work, and that's why I think he signed that contract. Neither side actually wants Tom Brady to call games. I can't see Brady calling games. And if he does call games, it'll be just for the money. He'll probably do it for 1 year. He'll stink. He won't criticize people, and that'll be that. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. He had Brady on the hot board last week. I think we can take Brady off. He believes that Ryan Tannehill, after what he heard out of Rand Carthon's mouth, he believes that Ryan Tannehill will not be the starting quarterback of the Titans. What does he think now after the news with Brady? We'll get into that with Chris Sanders. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman and Company here. Hey, it's Love Week on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Tune into Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow between 6 to 9 for details on how you could win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and qualify for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. Last week, Chris Sanders kind of wowed me when he came on the program, former Titans receiver, and said that he thinks the Titans are moving off of Ryan Tannehill after what he heard. We talked about Tom Brady at length. Tom Brady retires from the NFL. Chris, have you changed your thinking at all, or do you think the Titans will still be in the quarterback market?
My mind has changed absolutely 100%. I mean, because, you know, first of all, let me ask, are you okay, man? Because you know that Tom Brady retired. You doing all right?
It's been a tough day.
I know.
Very difficult time for me.
I know it's difficult, but just getting back to your question, I think that right now, I think the situation has basically changed, because if you look at the people that the Tennessee Titans could basically get, look at Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo, Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, you know, Garner, Minshew, are any of those guys as good as Tannehill? Absolutely not. So, you know, even though with Tom Brady retiring, I think they're going to stay with Tannehill, because what other choice do you have?
So you brought up Baker Mayfield, because I do think that the choices are – you know, now they could get into the Rodgers sweepstakes, but I don't think they're going to spend the money or the draft picks.
Right.
I am out, and maybe I'm transferring my feelings and assuming the Titans feel the same way. I'm out on Garoppolo and Carr. I don't think they're any different than Tannehill.
Nah.
And honestly, I'd rather have Tannehill than both of them. Mayfield is the one guy that I kind of circle. And I say to myself, he's still young-ish, right? Like, he's what, 26, 27?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's young for a quarterback. You know, he's really been through some adversity in Cleveland.
Yep.
Baker, you know, plays 100% effort all the time. He's clearly one of the best 32 quarterbacks, in my opinion, in the league. And, you know, that competitiveness and, you know, what I think is kind of a bad attitude, I wonder if Vrabel thinks, okay, I can rein that in and channel that all into the positive energy, or if Vrabel thinks, I don't want any part of that guy because he's kind of a clown. I don't know how Mike feels about that.
You know, I mean, it is. I mean, that's a great point that you make. But, you know, just looking at that with the shenanigans, all that stuff is great. But at the end of the day, he, in my opinion, and I say this in a respectful way, I just think he's an inconsistent quarterback, because 1 week, you know, he'll throw for 400 and some yards, and the next week he'll throw 5 or 6 interceptions. So do you really want to bring that on the roster? And if you look at Baker Mayfield and you look at Tannehill, they're two different guys. You got Baker Mayfield that can run around the field and extend the play and make some plays, but you got Tannehill that can drop back and also use his feet to make plays. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about which guy fits the identity of your team, I would say that the guy that fits the identity of your team is Tannehill as opposed to Baker Mayfield.
So, Chris, I feel like the Titans need some juice. You know, I feel like that there's a lot of negativity. I feel like it's, you know, like, maybe it's the sentiment of talking to the same callers and the same texters and everything. But it's like the line's a mess, the receivers are a mess, their draft pick is a good draft pick, but it's not a really good draft pick because they weren't bad enough, they weren't good enough to make the playoffs and give us some hope that they're right there with these other teams, even though I think they are. I mean, I think this team needs some serious juice, and if Tannehill returns at quarterback, I'm not sure that they'll get it. I do think that this team needs some big change. What do you make of that?
Yeah, but they do need some big change. But, you know, just like with listening to Mike Vrabel and the general manager Carthon, Rand Carthon, they got to do what's best for the team, and that's what the consistent, you know, theme of, we got to make the best decision for the team. I understand they can go with the fans and say, okay, we need a big splash, but the guys that I name, which guy gives you a splash? You said Baker Mayfield, say Jim Garoppolo. Yeah, he might a little bit, but Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew. Which guy on that list gives you a splash? You know,
Rodgers.
Even though who was that? Yeah, Rodgers. But does Rodgers? a Mike Vrabel guy. And the reason why I say, is he a Mike Vrabel guy? Because at the end of the day, you're talking about two guys that are alpha males. So now if it's 3rd and 10, and Mike Vrabel says, you know, Rodgers, I want you to run this play, and Rodgers says, I don't like that play, I'm going to change it, then now you're going to have discord amongst the team. So even though you hear Rodgers like, whoa, that is a great, that can be a great, you know, asset to the Tennessee Titans team, but at the end of the day, is it best for the Tennessee Titans?
Doesn't that kind of happen? Chris Anderson is with us. Doesn't that kind of happen with any great quarterback, though?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Dan Marino's going to hear the play from Jimmy Johnson, but Dan Marino's going to do what Dan Marino wants to do.
Right, but there's still got to be a mutual respect, because you already know that Mike Vrabel is a great coach, and he wants to make sure he does it his way, which is absolutely correct. But you got to understand, when you're bringing in a guy like Rodgers, he wants to do it his way. So now, if he's not going to listen to LaFleur, do you really think he's going to listen to Mike Vrabel?
Well, let me say this. I think that those two, you know, if it's who am I going to listen to, Mike Vrabel or Matt LaFleur, I don't even think it's a discussion of who I'm going to listen to.
Right.
I don't think LaFleur is in Vrabel's ballpark. But if Aaron disagrees with Mike Vrabel, do I think Aaron is going to listen to Mike Vrabel and kind of eat his feelings? No. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to make his grievances known like he has his entire career.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing that I don't like, and I'm saying this as a football player. I don't know about the man, but when you're talking about a quarterback that's a stand-up guy, even though a lot of people might not like Tannehill, might not like the things that he does sometimes on the field, but he made one mistake when they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, he left. But other than that, he's been a stand-up guy. But if you look at Rodgers, when something always goes wrong, he always points at everybody else as opposed to pointing at himself. He points at the receivers. He points at the offensive line. He talks about the coaches. In my opinion, if I'm Mike Vrabel and I'm Carthon, the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, I would stay away from that as clear as possible. Because the thing about it is, you have a lot of negative things going on right now. You have the offensive line that's struggling. You got to find another wide receiver. You got to find some different pieces. And it's all been negative. Then now you bring a guy in here that positively he can play ball. He can throw the ball. He can do all those things physically and skill-wise. But when you're talking about bringing a guy with an attitude that's all about himself, I'm staying 2 million miles away, because it just brings a bad vibe in that locker room.
Former Titans receiver Chris Anders is with us. You surprised we have not heard anything on the OC front?
Man, I don't know what the heck is going on there. And I think they need to make a decision quick. That's just my opinion. Because the thing about it is, you got the Senior Bowl coming. The Senior Bowl is going on right now. You got the draft coming up. You got individual, all those things coming up. So if you don't have an OC, what's the identity of your team? I just think that, in my opinion, I think the reason why they may be stalling, and I may be wrong, but I think they're going to hire within. And that's, what's that guy's name, Carter?
You're thinking about Tim Kelly.
Tim Kelly. They're probably just going to hire with him because he knows the system, he understands what's going on, and they don't have to change so many things. Because if we're still just waiting on trying to find an OC, I think we're trying to wait. I think they're going to interview the enemy later on down the road, but you're still behind the eight ball because all these other things that are going on.
So apparently this is coming down. Kyle Shanahan doesn't see any scenario where Jimmy Garoppolo returns and the 49ers are content enough with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance.
Ooh.
Do you think that Brock Purdy's injury Sunday takes the Titans out of any possible Trey Lance discussion?
100%. Trey Lance ain't going anywhere. I mean, it's just been a bad break for the Tennessee Titans all around. You got Brady did retire, and then you got Trey Lance that has to stay there now because of Purdy's getting hurt. So, you know, even though they were in the sweepstakes of getting Trey Lance, I think that's basically off the table because of Purdy's been hurt, so they can have a security blanket.
Okay, last one. I'll put you on the spot. Chris Sanders is with us. If you had to pick, let's say they're moving off Tannehill, even, you know, Brady was never in their plans, but neither's Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And you have to pick. All things considered, money, you know, the draft pick you'd have to trade for Rodgers, you know, all that. Rodgers, Carr, Garoppolo, or Mayfield?
I would go with Carr. I would. I mean, just, I know a lot of people don't look at this, but just his attitude. I mean, look at all the adversity that he went through with the Raiders. Everybody doesn't look at that. Oh, they're like, whatever, we only see numbers. But at the end of the day, you want a guy that can lead men. And when you got a guy that can lead men, you got a guy that can make something, you know, happen in the organization. Because the thing about it is, I understand that, you know, the situation that happened with the Raiders and he didn't live up to expectation. But sometimes guys just need a fresh start to say, you know what, I put all that stuff behind me, and then now mentally they can make some plays. Out of all those guys that we just named, I will go with Carr. Number one, because he has an attitude and there's some things that he can do that would be special to help this Tennessee Titans team.
Okay, Chris Sanders. Chris, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate you, Doc.
Bye. Yep, Chris Sanders joining us on the program. It was very nice of Chris to check in on me and see how I was doing, given the news of Tom Brady's retirement. The offensive coordinator search. I agree with Chris. I kind of thought all along it was just going to be Tim Kelly. But there may be a reason why the Titans haven't named anybody yet. And it's not about, well, they're doing their due diligence. But it may be about a totally revamped Mike Vrabel. And somebody seems to be telling us. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.